Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How is life treating you?
Oh, life is good, Cindy, and how are you?
Oh, everything is good. It was quite a beautiful day. I just was running around. I came home, and the house was boiling. It's like summer. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. You know what? We were saying the same thing today. We were saying the same thing today. It's incredible because, you know what? And nobody's allergies know what to do anymore because 1 minute it's cold and the body starts prepping for cold. Then all of a sudden the next day it's 70 degrees. The grass is all like, time to reproduce more, and all the pollen has got to start going crazy again. It's just nuts.
It's funny because I felt like Beethoven rewarded me because so much of my summer was doing the play that it's just giving me an extended summer. You didn't miss summer.
Listen, Cindy, I need to hit mountains. My mountains need to open by December. As long as we get snow by mid-December, I'll be okay.
All right. Well, we'll pray for snow. I did enjoy my Cancun vacation. It was very nice to go to Mexico, and it's lovely. And I feel very bad that that our current administration is saying do not go to Mexico, whatever. It's killing their tourist industry, so it's terrible. So we went to Cancun. We got a very good deal at the Ritz-Carlton, and you went from the airport to a shuttle that takes you right to the beautiful hotel. Back.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to go to Cancun, please go to Cancun. These people, they're so wonderful. They couldn't be more accommodating, and it was just lovely, lovely. And, it's just sad to see how deserted it was. So let's hope people will realize it's safe to go. Just stay on your resort and whatever. So
yep.
That was wonderful.
Oh,
so we had Halloween yesterday. Happy Halloween to all our listeners. Did you have a happy Halloween?
Yes, I did. I really did. We didn't really do a whole lot for Halloween, but we kind of just chilled out and just took a very, very nice evening just to ourselves. So it was very, very nice. We didn't have a lot of trick or treaters. We were kind of preparing for some trick-or-treaters, in a complex, figuring that parents will want their kids to come to a complex. But, come 8 o'clock, there was nobody, so it wasn't really, too bad there. And that's it. I carved a really, really cool Michael Myers pumpkin that I posted yesterday. And that's all.
Oh, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And we do want to take a moment to just say prayers for New York City and how terrible recent tragedy was in New York. And it's just frightening. And I am a little proud to say that the policeman who actually stopped this whole big mess came from Patchogue Medford High School, and he lives in Medford in my own little area. So, that's something we can be proud of, that, he was quite brave and interesting. He shot but didn't kill, so now we might find out a little bit about what this man's motives are. So, it's just crazy. And, we can expect, unfortunately, more of this in the future. It's just one of those horrible way the world is. And just yesterday was a horrible day.
No motives can justify that.
Mm-mm. And yesterday was a horrible day of readings for me because it was people who had lost people in the Las Vegas shooting seemed to have found their way to me yesterday. And you know, even though they don't know each other, any of these people, how I did like 3 readings about people that lost people there. This is horrible. It's just horrible. And,
it is.
You know, and one of them, person that I spoke to, knocked the book off my shelf. That's my husband's book. It's Hillary Clinton's What Happened. And I realized that's all this girl was saying after she was shot, what happened. She didn't even know what happened. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it was like,
shoot.
So it was, they were some really heavy duty readings. And of course, it's so close to the incident that I really would have preferred the people to have waited a little longer to get readings.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell people, you know, give a little time for those to cross over to kind of learn how to communicate, to kind
mm-hmm.
of adjust to the other side, to kind of find out what they need to say. Because, you know, sudden
yeah.
deaths like that, sometimes people are just not aware that they're dead for a while. It just takes a little time to, you know, what happened? And so,
well, you know what, though? It's also people need to, you know, like, this is nonsensical. We cannot understand, and I don't think that a lot of people can understand, you know, the motivation behind some of these things. You know, even the most hateful people that you or I may know personally, I don't think that you or I would ever think that they were, that even they were capable of the level of violence that we've seen over the course of the last couple of years, and specifically with Las Vegas and what happened in the city just a few days ago. So, you know, from a certain perspective, I think that because we can't fathom it, it doesn't even matter if it's been a minute that's gone by or a day or whatever. You just want answers, and you need to be able to reason it out with yourself. You need to be able to understand it in order to, and you need to be able to process it. And I think that, you know, that's probably what's driving people to you, is that even though they need to wait mentally because it's so tragic and it's so sudden, I don't think they have it in them to wait.
Exactly. That's why I actually read them. Okay, which is normally I won't read people that fast from something, but even you know,
yeah.
those people that had been killed in that seemed anxious to communicate. You know what I mean? It was this whole, you know, anxious thing going on. And then the other readings that I did yesterday were 3 women that lost their children recently to heroin overdoses. So yesterday was
oh,
the day that was awful, awful, awful. That it was young people, all young people that have died. It was really hard, hard readings. And that's
mm-hmm.
why today I was glad I had a little bit of a break here and there, because I really needed to, like, decompose from yesterday. And what just decompress from the whole day. Yesterday was just horrible, the readings. And so...
Yeah.
You know, we have, our prayers go to New York City and to everyone that is affected by that tragedy, because it affects, you know, many more people than those who are killed. It just ruins families and, you know, everything. So let's just pray for a little peace in the year 2018, please.
Yes.
That's my
and
hope.
And you know what? And take a look around. Clearly, all of this banter and all of this fighting back and forth, it's not getting us anything more than you know, more violence. You know, you can hate these people all you want. We're being met with more hate. You know, I think that people really need to start taking, you know, a good, serious, long, hard look at the state of the world that we're living in now, and realize that these little things that we're, and I understand that for some people they're not little, but you know what? These things that we're fighting about on the grand scheme of things are shit. Whether or not you're a Republican
exactly.
or a Democrat, it's shit. Be a good person first. Don't worry about party affiliation. Start out being a good person. Start out hearing what people have to say. Start listening. Start communicating. Start being tolerant and working on your own sense of tolerance. You know, and just start with you. Start with a little piece of nice that you could put into the world every single day. You know, and hopefully let that spread. Because you know what? You go on Facebook these days, you go on Instagram, everybody's got a fucking opinion. You know what? Opinions are like assholes. All right? Everybody's got one. All right?
For sure.
So nobody needs to – if you're going to be using your opinion just to stir things up and just to be completely divisive, then shut your fucking mouth and keep that shit to yourself.
And also, we talk about righteous anger always here. You know, a righteous
yeah.
anger is not attacking people, not name-calling. It's addressing facts. And if
yeah,
you have
exactly.
something, someone saying something you don't like, don't call them idiot or stupid. You know, I say,
no.
you know, manipulators try to influence us by half-truth and lies, whereas
mm-hmm.
I try to feel like I try to not manipulate people, but influence them through truth and facts. So if you someone has an opinion that you think is erroneous, well, then stick with the facts, please.
Well, you know what? And that's and even in today's day and age, you have to realize that even that's hard because there's so much wrong information out there. People are basing opinions
exactly.
on wrong information, you know,
and that's what sucks about it.
Yep.
And that's why I say verify
it.
Your facts if you can. Fact check. You know, don't assume it's correct just because you read it on the internet anymore.
Yep.
And, you know, don't trust everything you read on the internet. That's for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because
well,
like, it's a shame.
Do you notice we have a lot of callers tonight? And the first one we're going to go to is the 630, and the last four numbers are 8736. That is my cousin. So
really?
I promised her we would pick up on and talk to her today. She's actually my cousin's daughter.
Oh,
but
you're
I
such
call
a good
my
cousin, Cindy.
I am. I'm a good cousin to have, and I love my cousins. They're very smart. The women in my family are very, very smart. So I love when they call in. So we're going to pick up on Jennifer first, and then you could start screening. And if anyone wants to talk to us, including Jennifer, you have to press the number 1 or we can't pick you up. So let's see if she
Absolutely.
Presses the number 1.
Now, which what are the last four digits on that call, Cindy?
8736.
Why am I not seeing this? My God, we have so many callers tonight. Oh, I got her now.
Okay, but
all right. So I'm going to go start to screen.
She hasn't
you
pressed
start
one.
To read.
So I'm not... Jennifer, please press 1 on your dial on your phone. Otherwise, I don't know if we'll be able to pick you up without pressing 1. Isn't that the truth? Don't they have to always press 1?
Well, I have to get a cue, but you know what? We're going to do it anyway. Let's see what
Hello?
Happens.
Jennifer, are you
Hello?
There?
Can you hear me?
Oh, good. Okay. She didn't press 1, but it still worked. Okay.
All right.
All right, Jennifer.
There we go.
So I know you have something on your mind, so why don't you share with us and we'll try to guide you the
Thank
best
you.
That we can.
Thank you. Sorry, I was pressing 1. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I don't. Well, I was saying to Nicole before we got on air, oh, Blogspot Radio has been cooperative today. Hasn't screwed up too much yet. Well, obviously it did. Okay. I spoke too soon. You have the same voice as your mother, by the way. Do people tell you that?
Yeah, I have the same voice as my sister, too.
Okay, well, it's a good voice. It's a good voice. But, you know, when I first heard you, I thought of your mom. You know, your mom just came to mind. So.
Yeah. I have
so
a manager
can...
with me, too. So
oh, good. Your beautiful
too.
Daughter. I see pictures of her on Facebook. What a beauty that girl is.
Hi.
So I hope Hi, Amanda. You're the cutest little thing. I hope I get to meet you in person one of these years. So maybe when you get married, you'll have a big wedding and we'll all come.
Yeah. Maybe next time we're in New York, we'll have to work that out.
Yeah, work
so,
it
anyway,
out because
yeah.
we. So
yeah.
what's this? What's going on in your life?
So what's going on is that we're about to sort of embark on a new adventure. We're moving to Atlanta.
Wow.
So my husband got a new job down there. So we're heading down there soon, probably December. We found a house, and we're kind of all ready to go. But the only thing that's making me nervous is that we haven't sold our current house. So I'm super anxious over that. There's actually someone looking at it as we speak. So
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying as we speak, I think somebody's thinking about this house.
I hope
is
so. They're sitting in my driveway.
Okay, so that's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. And is it priced correctly, according to your broker?
Yeah, it is. And, in fact, we've dropped it a couple times already because we just
okay,
want to
Okay, so kind
of
the mistake that people make is that if they keep dropping it too much, like they didn't like price it right, in the beginning, people are just waiting to see if you're going to drop it more.
Yeah.
So you might have to just, you know, might be a week or two, you know, or three before certain people are going to say, oh, I guess that's the bottom price there. Okay. But
uh-huh.
It looks like it will sell fairly soon, actually. I mean, I got the Ace of Pentacles ready to, you know, your mom's father, which I don't know. You never met him, did you?
I didn't, no.
Okay, I used to love Cerati. I loved his name, Cerati Serato, kind of funny name, right?
I know.
And he seemed to have come into the room, and I've never really spoken to him before, but he seems to think it's going to sell very quickly. So, hang in there. I know it's making you a wreck because everything has to kind of coordinate, but
yeah.
The house will sell. Your husband's going to like this job. It's like a good move for him, by the way.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what you think about this whole transition for us. I feel like it's going to be really great.
Atlanta is a beautiful city, first of all.
Yeah.
I'm sure the home you got in Atlanta is beautiful. Is it beautiful?
It is. I'm excited. Yeah. I haven't even seen it in person yet. Amanda and I are actually flying out there tomorrow.
Okay, good. And is it, Amanda, I'm going to ask you, are you nervous about this move? How old are you now, by the way?
I'm 18.
Okay, so are you going to college now, or are you at this point?
I'm going to be going to beauty school in Atlanta.
Oh, good. So you're great. So you have your whole life planned in Atlanta. Great for you. And she's going to go to beauty school. Good. I'd like you to do my hair one day then. This is wonderful. And it looks like you're going to love school too. It's a nice move for you. Are you nervous about leaving all your friends behind at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. But you realize when you're 18, a lot of your friends are going to go away to college. They're going to go to different places. People kind of scatter. So it's actually not bad timing, the move. And looks like really a nice soulmate in Atlanta. Are you ready for love?
No, she has a boyfriend. That's one of her biggest
Because it looks like there's also another guy that could be for you in Atlanta. I don't know if you're thinking about that, but is the guy you're with now willing to move or come to Atlanta?
He's in college, so.
Okay, so if it's meant to be, you'll survive. First of all, he would be in college anyway away from you, even if you were living where you are.
Yeah.
You'd be separated. The separation looks like, If your relationship is meant to survive, it will. Do you feel like you have a strong soulmate connection with him?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you are young, and I can see he really cares about you and loves you. But I also see there could be someone in Atlanta maybe later on. So take it kind of one day at a time. Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
And not what if this, what if that, what if this. I mean, can he come visit you during the school year and vacations and stuff? Is he going to come see you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And if it's meant to last, it will last. How long have you been with him now?
4 years.
Okay, so that's a really long-term relationship. Relationships for every 5 years, it's sort of fix it, leave it, see if it's meant to last. So this 4 into 5 years is pretty crucial time for you. And if you want it to work, it could. I only see good things in the future for you. I mean, there is always going to be love. Your career looks great. Atlanta looks like you're going to like it. It's really nice weather.
Yeah.
Are you liking that it's going to be a little bit warmer than when you're used to? Good. And where does your boyfriend go to school?
Iowa State.
Okay, so... do you talk to him all the time and communicate with him?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, really, if it's meant to be, it's going to be. If it isn't, Atlanta looks like a really good place for you regardless. And you'll make some new friends there. Are you worried about making friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be in beauty school. You'll meet new people. I think moving is one of the number one stressful things. Correct, Jennifer. How stressed out are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very.
It's stressful, even if it's like a close move. This is a really big lifestyle change. But in terms of your husband liking his career, it looks really, really good for him. And
good.
How about you, Jennifer? What are you going to be doing career-wise or whatever?
I'm keeping my current position, so they're allowing me to work remote full-time.
Now, isn't the 21st century amazing?
I know. It's awesome. Yeah, and my parents are coming with us, so we're all going.
Oh, that was my next question. So you're going to have your parents with you?
Yes.
Wow. So this is all great. This is all good news. I think if your parents weren't coming with you, you'd be devastated, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it would be hard for us. It'd be hard for them. It'd be hard for Amanda. So we're all going to be in one place. They've already got a new house, and they've already sold theirs. So.
Oh, notice how they sold theirs right away. Don't you just love that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
But do you have a little mixed feelings about selling the house?
No. I don't.
Okay, good. We want to clear any mixed feelings out of there, okay? Because we don't want to, like,
okay,
block the movement of this. But it looks like you've priced it right now. So,
okay,
you know, you should be able to sell it probably within the next few weeks. So when are you moving?
Probably beginning of December.
Okay.
Because we're closing on the new one at the end of this month.
Okay, and you're packing up everything?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Getting rid of stuff, too, please?
A lot, yes. Lots of purging. It feels good.
And it's so funny because you'll never miss it. And, you know, a lot of times when people think they need a bigger house, by the time they get rid of all the stuff they don't need because they're moving to the next house, they realize they have plenty of room in that house now. You know?
Yeah.
So, but this is a good – it's a very good year ahead for you, 2018. Amanda, you're going to do really well in school. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. She seems a little nervous. Are you nervous about everything?
Yeah.
Okay, that's because you're a very old soul, and older souls don't like change. And this is a lot of change all at once. It's moving to a new place, meeting new friends, going to a new school. So it's normal to be anxious. But if you would just kind of take it one day at a time and not have so much anticipatory anxiety. That runs in our family. Do you know that we all anticipate so much and have anxiety so much before stuff? I know enough of our cousins long enough now that they all get really nervous with change. And
yep,
this is a really good change, though, for all of you. And there's nothing bad in your cards. And, again, if it's meant to be with you and your soulmate, which, you know, he loves you and then he could maybe move to Atlanta when he finishes school, or maybe you guys, I don't know where you'll go, but, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about that. Is it going to be hard for him, though, because he has to kind of go visit his family and come to you? Is that going to be hard for him?
Yeah, probably.
He'll work it out. He'll figure it out. He seems
yep
to be a little nervous you're moving. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I see him as nervous as you are. So, you know, in this day and age of Skyping and phones and communication, a long-distance relationship can be kept alive if you want to. So
mm-hmm
you've been doing it. How long has he been in college now?
About 3 months.
Okay, so this is different anyway for you, for him being away, right? Has it been stressful
yeah
for you with him without him here?
Yeah.
I know. It's hard to get used to when you've been used to seeing someone all the time. But, you know, he's doing good at school. He's trying his best. But there's nothing bad in your cards. This move looks really good. You have to, like, email me and let me know when that house sells. Let's hope that people that are looking at it now love it. Don't you think? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, I hope so, because yeah they've been there for a long time. We're sitting across the street watching. We went out, we got food, and we came back, and we thought they'd be gone, and they're still there. So I'm like, hey, take your
well
time.
Oh, it's terrible when you're selling a house. I remember after my parents died and their house was being sold, and, you know, people will think if they insult the house, like, you're going to, like, lower the price. I'm like, if they insulted, I told them to get the hell out of the house. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not the way. Like, come in here and tell me you love the house and you love to raise your children here. I think about negotiating with you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't come here and, like,
with somebody that really likes it and, you know, will bring some positive energy to it. And, you know,
well, you know what?
We'll
you know what really helped sell my parents' house, I think, was I put a picture of the four of us, one of our Christmas pictures when we were all really cute and little, and put it in a little frame and said, these children grew up here, you know.
Aww.
And it, you know, it seemed to get people, you know. I was like,
yeah, good.
So that, you know, kids grew up here. We all lived to tell. And mm-hmm so it is stressful, but nothing is bad in your cards. It really looks good. And it's funny because I knew your husband had wanted a reading a little ways back. Was this about taking a new job back then?
Yeah, it was kind of about the whole transition and him being a little bit, you know, unsure of things and making sure it was going to be the right direction to go. And
it looks like it's fabulous in the long run. You're going to love Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta is a really great city, and the weather's great.
Yeah.
And you get a little more for your money there, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And he's been there for a few weeks, and so far he absolutely loves it.
Right. And it's a great city. So, you know, look at it as a great adventure. And and do me a favor and keep in contact. And if you need to call in again, please call in. But the most important thing is stay calm during the move, please.
Okay.
and you understand why people hate change, because something will always go wrong. I remember when I moved here to this house, and it wasn't a big move, but like the cable didn't work and Verizon couldn't come into the house. I couldn't have my Verizon email. I mean, it was like one mess after another. I said, now I know why people hate change. It did take a while to get it, but it all ended up turning out okay.
Yeah, we're excited.
Oh, good. So good. And you're a little closer to me now. George is a little closer. So good.
We'll still be coming there to visit Karen. So one of these days we'll have to coordinate better.
Oh, that would be great. We'll just come up to Westchester to see you guys, you know?
Yeah,
so
that'd be awesome.
That would be wonderful. Well, thank you for calling in. We're going to try to take a few more calls tonight.
All right.
Thank you. Good luck with your move.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye. I just love my cousins. Okay, we have Linda. Is this in Montana?
No, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. Okay.
Yes.
Missouri.
Basically, in a nutshell, Linda and her husband are kind of rekindling something. They had a little bit of drama in their past, Cindy, there. And they're back together, and they're looking to move forward into the future. And right now, Linda just wants to know, and she's looking for a little bit of a validation here. You know, are things going to be going in the right direction with her and her husband? What does the future have to, you know, have to hold for the two of them? And, you know, is she on the right track? So here is Linda. Hello, Linda, you're on
there. Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, Linda, has everyone forgiven everyone? I mean, we don't have to forgive actions. We have to forgive people. And are you kind of, you know, because as a relationship coach, not just a psychic, I tell people, if you can't forgive people for what they've done that made you separate in the first place, it isn't going to work. You can't keep bringing up old stuff because it becomes very loaded, like loaded issues. It's like, let's close that. We've resolved that. And let's move forward. Your husband seems to love you very much. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And how do you feel about him?
The same.
Okay, good.
I
mean, love goes up and down a ladder. Good, bad, take each other for granted. How long were you with him when you separated? Do you know how long?
27 years.
Okay, so around the 25th year, did you start having trouble?
Probably. It wasn't something that happened quickly, but I can see that.
Because every 5 years, like at the 25-year mark, God would say, fix it, leave it, doing something. Sometimes couples just take each other for granted. That seems to be what seemed to happen in your marriage. And taking each other for granted is like probably the most dangerous position of all. I actually prefer when people come fighting like cats and dogs here. At least then we can give them some tools how to fix that, say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it, than when they've drifted apart for 20 years. Because it's really hard to, you know, almost bring people back. And when people are in a long-term relationship and they take each other for granted, well, then they're not keeping each other from the temptations of the world. Somebody else can come along and start talking to you, suddenly you get interested in them, or they bring out stuff in you that you don't know is there. So when people separate, love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or taking 2 feet out for a while. It's one of the smartest things you could have done, because in separating, you know, you figured out what was your responsibility and what happened in the marriage. He had to take some responsibility for what was his doing to the demise of the relationship. And then choosing to come back can really make a marriage really, really strong, you know, because you realize you're happier together. Did you both figure that out? You're happier together?
Yes. It took It took a little bit to understand that.
And of course, it's not a failure that you separated from each other. It's like something has to give. And both of you, you know, chose again to have the relationship. There looks like you have children. Children are showing up here. You have children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
And so, okay, because, you know, in an ideal world, people can get back together and fix it. You know, divorce is an earthquake when it comes to families. And if you can try it all because you still have something there, you'll be, you know, it's amazing to fix it. It's also showing your children something very good, that love can start out good, it can go bad, we can take each other for granted, and yet we can come back and fix it. Like, mm-hmm. how few people actually show children that you can fix a relationship, even if it gets derailed, you mm-hmm. can put it back together. How are your children taking all of this?
I think they seem to be a lot happier with the whole idea of us being back.
Of course. And, you know, holidays, Christmas, being grandparents in the future, all of that is, like, wonderful. So are you two mm-hmm. putting each other first? Because most of the couples that I know who have actually maintained their soulmate love over the long haul don't have children. Mm-hmm. Because children, you know, we end up putting our kids first for 20 years or whatever. You know, all of a sudden you don't even know who you are anymore. He doesn't know who he is.
yeah.
And you lose each other, okay?
Right.
In an ideal world, you would have put each other first to begin with and not the kids. But in America, we tend to put the kids first. It isn't right. So you two have to kind of, your relationship has to be the unit that comes first now. You know, mm-hmm. maintaining it, going out on a date, being lovers. Are you back in the bedroom? Do you make love? Are you doing all of that now?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, because
I mean, everything's yes. The only thing is we have a lot going on because we are moving, and that obviously kind of precedes everything at this point.
Okay, it's just like my cousin before.
Sense.
My cousin to move.
Yeah.
There's nothing more stressful than a move. Okay,
yeah,
it's like
the pain in
a
the
move.
Ass.
Now the best thing is like all you could do is take it one day at a time with a move. Do what you got to
exactly.
do. Stay organized.
Right.
No, it's chaos, which most people can't stand the chaos. You know, mm-hmm. I remember after I moved into this house, when I would do psychic parties in every house for the next year, I'd look and go, oh, my God, if they had to move, they had to move all the stuff. That's what I kept thinking when I was in their house. Oh, my God, how would they pack all this? But
especially the pack rats. I can see that.
Oh, I know. And that's it's also like I got the Tower card for you, which means you
okay.
almost threw out your marriage. You almost threw out everything.
Yeah.
The universe is telling you now, throw out stuff that you don't need. That isn't serving your good. Give it away. Get rid of it. Simplify, and you know,
okay.
the move looks like you'll get through it just fine. But once
yeah.
you settle into the move, try to remember that your lover is that marriage is supposed to be a pajama party with your best friend, and remember not to talk to your husband in a way you would not talk to your friends. We never say fuck off asshole to our friends. We wouldn't have any friends. Okay,
yeah,
it's amazing. It's from the arranged marriages in the historic past that don't go back that far that make people think they can be abusive to each other or mean or say, you know, mean things and people can't go anywhere. I mean, the two of you proved, you know, it's not till death do us part if we're not getting along. So I don't think that's such a bad thing. I think people need to be reminded that, you know, you can't be not good to a person and think they're going to stay with you forever. So
yeah.
just it really looks like after the move, good things here, you know, and do you work at talking with him a little more, your husband?
Yeah, we are. I think we're figuring out where our flaws were, and we seem to understand where I don't want certain things to happen or and vice versa kind of thing.
And of course, it's pretty much, I always say to couples, just because you've been with someone for 20 years doesn't mean you know everything about them. They're not the same person they were 20 years ago. And if you want them to be the same person, then they're just walking around, you know, pretending to be something they're not. And then they meet a stranger, and all of a sudden they're talking all this stuff they never
yeah.
even knew they knew. Like,
right.
talk. Don't assume you know everything about your husband. He knows everything about you. And,
right.
you know, both of you are different than you were 27 years ago. You're supposed to be different. But
yeah.
I'm going to ask you a really honest question that I hope you will answer honestly to us. If you met your husband today, would you want to marry him? If you just met him today, would he be the kind of man you want to marry? That's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, because he's, well, granted, he's older.
Good.
I guess there's the qualities that I like. So, yes, I guess it would be yes. I just I guess one of the things that really, and I hate to say this, bothers me. I think my mind, and I'm sure his mind is too, young, and I hate watching us get old. And it's like, I think of you as a young guy, and I don't see that young guy no more.
Well, we have to work at getting our energy bodies to stay young. And we also have to work at, you know, people don't have to age in dog years, okay? They age in dog years if their habits are bad, by the way.
No, actually, he looks great for his age.
Okay, good.
Don't get me wrong. Not that part, but it's like when I married him, it was like he was 12, looked like he was 12. And now it's like he's 50, and it's like, but I see the difference. You know, and I'm like, holy shit, what the hell happened here, you know?
Right, well, what it is you're having a little bit of a midlife crisis, my darling.
No, and
a midlife crisis is a spiritual crisis. It's not, I want to wear high pants. It's saying there's more to life than this, and that if we think of, like, getting older as a decline, because, you know, like, now we don't have the power we used to have, because in America we associate power with youth. There's a lot of ageism in America. At 50, try to get a job. It's really not easy. So it's pretty real, the aspect of ageism. But that's where going to spirit, and you begin to realize that, you know, his soul is immortal and his heart is eternal. And, you know, and going more to that level than the physical level is important. And it's realizing, he's 50 years old. I mean, we're not spring chickens. And, of course, they say in aging, it's the age you think that you're old that you become old. So, like, some people really don't think they're old till they're 75, and then they hit 75, and all of a sudden they decline, like rapidly in the next 2 years. So figure out, I will tell you, when you have kids and you've been raising them, you feel really pretty old when you've just been through the teen years and all of that. You know, that really runs you down. You're starting to start feeling a little younger when it's just you two connecting, making love. You're doing things that make you feel young and vital. Ride a bike, go for a walk. Do things that keep you feeling young. And it is really a realization. Yeah, it kind of hits some people hard as they start hitting 50. But do you realize you're having a little bit of a midlife crisis?
I guess so. I should have got the vet instead.
and
would have ended up better.
Right, and it's just, you know that he loves you and that you were soulmates when you first met. You sort of took each other for granted and you weren't soulmates anymore. You're both two good people. You could bring it back up to soulmates where you love each other, heart, soul, mind, and body. But just recommit to the marriage and really, you know, try to make a lot of love. How old are your kids now?
I have a 14, 19, and 26. So most
of
them
are out. No wonder you feel old. So I have a 14-year-old.
Well, I have a 26.
You never feel older than when you have teenagers because they have their teenage crisis the same time you're having your midlife crisis, and what a mess. But just try to reserve a little time just for you and your husband. Go out on a date night every week, once a week, and you know, like a couple, if you just met, and you know, just have a little bit of fun. But it looks really solid here, your marriage. Like you went through the worst of it, and have you forgiven yourself? By the way,
I have. Sometimes I realize that there was a purpose for it all.
Yeah, there always is. And the reality is, the thing that you're going through that's a crisis is a spiritual crisis. Is the truth of the matter is the only person we go through life with from beginning to end is ourselves. And we have a soul journey that has nothing to do with your husband, nothing to do with your children or your mother or your father. There's a soul journey that has to do with just Linda's soul. And a soul is like a rebellious teenager. And if you're not feeding it, nurturing it, and giving what it wants, it says, fuck you, and I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to rebel, and I'm going to do all kinds of crap you can't believe I want to do until you start paying attention that I need nurturing. And, you know, life is long, and we have many soulmates. Some are meant to come and go. They're not meant to be here forever. And every experience that we go through has something that your soul needed to grow. It did, it has nothing to do with your husband. It had to do something your soul needed to understand and learn. And if you learned from it, if you, you know, you addressed what brought you to where it was, but the soul has, you know, a mind of its own. And we're really being asked, and just calling into our radio show would show that you're trying to go more towards spirit. You know, that there's something... And what it is your soul saying, pay attention to me. And when you've been a mom for 20-something years, everybody comes first. Everybody. So your prayer this year is pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself.
Right.
Start putting yourself a little bit first and giving yourself being a little nurturing. Take a yoga class. Do something that you want to just do for an hour or two a week. Nobody's going to drop dead if you take 2 hours to yourself. And those are the things, if you neglect yourself too much, you're going to end up rebelling. And it's what happens. So, I mean, I hope you would call in the future and let us know how you and your husband are doing. I'm so glad to hear that you got back together. That's in an ideal world, couples come back. And if you've ever listened to our show, I don't know if you have, we always say love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. For way too long, you kind of had 1 foot in, 1 foot out of your marriage. You didn't know if you wanted to stay or go.
Yeah,
and nothing could be fixed at that point. So when you took 2 feet out, you could say, okay, I'm ready to put 2 feet in. So I need you to completely put 2 feet in there now.
Right.
Commit to your marriage, heart, soul, mind, and body, you know, and don't have doubts about it. And, you know, and of course, he's not perfect. You're not perfect. But nobody says people have to be perfect.
Right. Exactly.
And, well, thank you for sharing a little bit of your story with us, because it's fascinating long-term relationships.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's very hard. How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it's all right. I'm 48.
Okay, that's the midlife crisis age. That's hitting hard, okay? And I will tell you, you get through it. Somehow or other, you get through it. And you start to realize, well, when age doesn't doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother other people. It's like, you'd be amazed. It's when we are self-conscious about aging that it seems to be important. When we grow beyond it, nobody really cares how old you are. You know what I mean? They don't. So it's important. And well, thank you for sharing with us. And call in again, please. Okay,
yes,
bye.
I will. Thank you, hon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, Nicole, you know I'm like a million years older than you, but you don't care, right? Nicole, of course, doesn't care about that.
Never.
Right. Am I right? I'm like a million years older than you, but you never care how old I am, do you?
No, not at all.
I mean, am I right? Like, you don't even think about it. And it's like,
not in the least.
And that's why I tell people, if you'd stop worrying about your age or thinking about it, and just, it becomes, you know, nobody cares, nobody asks, you know?
Exactly.
And it's good. Well, we have Dominique. She's from Long Island. Is she someone I should know? Is she one of my clients, or is she somebody entirely new?
You know
here?
What? I did not ask if Dominique was a client, but you know what? The name sounds very, very familiar. So I think that Dominique has called in before, and she's starting a new job, and she wants to know how that's going to pan out, Cindy, and she wants to know if we have enough time on a possible future relationship.
Oh, she's a good girl. Okay, let's see what's going on with Dominique.
Here we go with Dominique. Hello, Dominique.
Hello.
You are on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Dominique, you have such a pretty name.
Thank you.
Let's see what's going on. So you have a brand new job, okay, and that's always
I do.
You know, it seems to be the show of everybody's gotten something new happening, moving, you know, careers. It actually looks like a really great move for you, and it's kind of linked to you finding love. Are you ready for relationship two?
I am, yes.
Okay, good, because when the universe kind of shakes us up, puts us in a mm-hmm. new job, meeting new people, and when you're not in a relationship, it kind of, God has to give you a job that maybe can bring you in alignment with this soulmate. So it looks mm-hmm. like you're going to meet some new people. Don't be, I know we were talking about anticipatory anxiety before with my cousin. You're having a lot of anticipatory anxiety about this job, you know, wondering how it's going to be. You're a very mm-hmm. old soul, by the way, and older souls have a lot of humility. They're not bullshit artists, so they get really nervous when they start stuff. They're really very competent, but they don't mm-hmm. like being in a place where they don't really feel like they know what they're doing. But
yes.
after you, like, kind of learn what you need to learn, and it looks like a lot of learning in this job.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware that you have
yes.
a lot of learning to do?
Okay. Yeah, actually, I started the job about a month and a half ago. And it is a lot of learning, and I don't get done with my training for about 4 months it takes for the training, like for me to be
okay.
certified.
Okay, and you realize it's a lot to learn,
mm-hmm.
but you will learn it, and it looks like you're going to like the job. Do you like the training process right now?
I do. I love it. I really
okay,
do love
and
it.
This looks like a great career here. You're going to make very
mm-hmm.
good money. You got okay. good money cards on it too. And again, if you have any questions or you don't know something, don't be afraid to ask questions. Do you ask questions? If
I do all the time.
Okay.
Clarification,
good.
Everything.
Good, because it doesn't do any good to fake it. Younger souls tend to be bullshit artists, and they fake everything, and they just
mm-hmm.
bullshit their way through life. Okay, older souls they
yeah.
don't like to bullshit their way. They like to know what they're doing. Okay, and they're
mm-hmm.
really uncomfortable if they don't know what they're doing. But when you get through it, you're going to love this job. And are you meeting new people now?
I am.
Okay.
work with like a close group of people. But
okay.
I'm in touch with a lot of people as well, like on the
Good.
Road.
Okay, so know that God wants you to have love. Career was your number one goal in coming back to Earth, by the way. Career and love was a pretty close second. So once you kind of master this career, in the next
mm-hmm.
6 months, I hope love becomes your top priority for a little while then. And,
okay.
Because it's going to come your way, and you're going to do really well money-wise. Do you get commissions or anything on this job?
I don't, no.
Okay, it's kind of a salaried,
no commission.
It's a salaried position?
It's salaried, yep.
Okay, because it looks like you'll keep moving up, though, money-wise. And things, this looks like a great opportunity here for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential.
Oh, yeah, that's what's going to be going. And, and as far as love goes, that's in your cards, too. When's your birthday? You don't have to give me the year, just the month and the day.
February 8th.
Okay, good, because that's where your new year really begins. And by then you should be through with a lot of your training.
Mm-hmm.
And be well onto your job, and that's when it looks like love is going to come your way. Do you do anything to find love at this point?
I do. I've been on dating apps. I try to get out as often as I can, but it's not as easy with the new job and my new hours that I'm working. So that is what I've been doing. Looking
okay.
for
and,
it, but.
And with the dating apps, remember, most of the guys are not looking for a relationship there.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's probably not the best place to find somebody. I mean, you can
mm-hmm.
find someone, but, the dating apps have created what I call a monster man. They don't think they have to
yeah.
commit to anybody because there's 400 Tinderellas waiting for them. And,
yeah.
The Tinderellas don't become Cinderellas. So,
mm-hmm.
And even you might be using perhaps Bumble. Do you do Bumble?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've been on that, yeah.
Okay. It's not the best way to meet somebody who's looking for commitment. And
mm-hmm.
So maybe, figure out after you're settled into your job and you know what your hours are and all of that, maybe you could sign up for different classes or go to workshops or do different things that you could, meet some new people and stuff like that.
Okay.
because meeting new friends, meeting new people in this job, trying to meet as many people as you can, someone invites you to like a holiday party or something, go. You know, that's how you're going to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your generation tends to forget that you can meet people like, you know, either in person, actually,
uh-huh.
you know, and, you know, just sometimes put down the cell phone and talk to the people that are standing next to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you have a really, really, really good year ahead of you. So I'm
Great.
Not worried about you. So, I mean, you're actually a pleasure to read because everything in your cards is really good. And there's a lot of change, and it's good change. But older souls don't like change. So sometimes there's a little bit of anxiety involved when there's so much change happening at once.
Mm-hmm.
So, but everything looks great. And, you know, the career looks like you're going to – I hope you want this to be a long-term career because it looks very long-term here.
Yeah, I do.
Good.
I definitely do. Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole, is it a whole new career for you?
It is. It's a lot similar. I work for – I'm a 911 dispatcher. So it's – along I went to school for law, my undergrad. So it's in the same field but not exactly the same. Of where I came from.
Oh, okay.
From.
Well, I mean, if you could be a 911 dispatcher, you must be a very calm person.
Yeah, you have to be.
I'm like, I have to be impressed with this woman who could handle that,
yeah.
you know. And I tell you, whenever I think I have a hard job, and sometimes I'll be, you know, saying how hard my job will be, I like to go sit in an emergency room for an hour.
Yeah,
and
right.
then I know who has hard jobs. Okay, then I go
yeah.
home and feel like my job is easy. You know what I mean? So
definitely.
Yeah. Well, I'm very proud of you, and it looks like you know you have like this incredible year ahead of you. But please try to think about putting love, you know, up there as an important priority
mm-hmm.
for you, because you are a person who love is important. You
yeah.
know that, and.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't always picked the best guys in the past. So, okay, you tended to fall for what I call the princes that become the beast. try to trust your gut with people and don't just see the good in them and believe they're telling you the truth and, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. You know,
yeah.
try to trust your gut a little bit more with people. I know you're really
mm-hmm.
good with your gut because if you did 911 calls, you really know what's an emergency and what's not. You had to trust your gut
mm-hmm.
on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
When we don't love people, our gut works very well. It's when we like
mm-hmm.
or love people that the radar goes down a lot. So
yeah.
Just you're a little bit not trusting of your judgment, and I would advise you stay on dating apps for a while because you can't meet that many lowlives and scumbags in 1 month as you could meet there. If you can
yeah.
figure out pretty quickly that they're bad, no, you're not the same person you used to be, you know.
Yeah.
And so you know, I just think it's trusting your gut and don't get jaded because there are good people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a fine line between Pollyanna where we think everybody's good and when we're jaded. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want you jaded. How we don't become jaded
yeah.
is we trust our gut. If our gut tells us somebody's lying, they're lying. That's all we need to know.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
So call in again and let us know what happens, especially in the next 2 months, because it looks like there's some really nice, good changes here for you. You know,
awesome.
You have a really good year opening up with your birthday, okay? So
mm-hmm.
just be ready.
Great.
And
I will.
Well,
mm-hmm.
thank you for sharing your story with us, and have a great
thank
night.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
You Bye.
Bye. Okay, now we have Stacy. We've been calling in regularly. Okay, maybe Nicole can fill us in on that one a little bit. I know she's usually in the chat room, so sometimes she's not here to fill me in. But we have Stacy from Long Island. Oh, the divorce got signed. Okay, this I got to hear. Okay. Hello, Stacy. I can't believe it. The divorce got signed.
Hi, Cindy. Yes, it did, finally.
Wow. He finally did it?
Yeah, we both.
Wow. And how are you feeling about it now?
Okay, I think. You know, a little emotional still, but it was a long time in the process, so I'm kind of glad it's over.
Good. And
yeah.
And how are the kids adjusting to it all?
Okay. He's really not seeing our daughter that much. That kind of their relationship's been a little strained. So that's one of my concerns. But he does take our son sometimes. So it's still, you know, a bit of a juggle. But it's, you know, we try to be thankful for the times he does spend with them. So.
And again, you know, the children have to know who their father is. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't always shelter them from things. And as far as you, it's been exhausting to get the divorce. Are you still talking with the guy that couldn't commit to you, or have you cut that off now?
I recently just cut that off. Like, took both feet out, and I couldn't, yeah, I just said I can't do it anymore.
Okay. And
so
it,
that was
so, okay, that, I know. It's kind of like you're mourning for the end of your marriage, and you're
mm-hmm.
mourning for the ends of a relationship that could have been, but that person can't step up to the plate. And, you know, you didn't come this far in liberation to have a man tell you, well, you can be my friend, but that's it, because that's all I can offer you. And what I'm seeing for you is another soulmate coming, but there's a little period of time where the universe just sort of wants you to catch your breath. Are you trying to do that, just catch your breath?
I'm trying. I left a job that I was working over the summer that I thought could have worked out, but it didn't, and I had to walk away from that. And so I'm kind of feeling a little bit in limbo again, but I've got a couple other things I'm looking into. So, yeah, I just, I don't know. I don't feel jaded. I just feel like I'm unsure.
Well, it's also because you have to know who you are now. You're not your husband's wife anymore. You know, who am I? And finding yourself. And, you know, you've been through a long, drawn-out divorce. It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And so catching your breath is important. And, you know, seeing that your kids are okay. Have you settled into where you live and everything? Everybody's settled into the...
Yeah, we've stayed in the house, so that's been stable for the kids.
Okay, good. And so what I'm seeing here is, you know, watch your back still a little bit with your ex, because he's going to have his moods. There'll be some days that are better than others.
Yeah, I know.
You know, just when you think it's better, he'll be worse. But remember, you're not married to him anymore. So,
yeah.
Now, he can have his hissy fits, whatever he wants, but it doesn't have to affect you. And really, money looks better for you, too. Now, you were going to do some new career ventures you were trying. Did anything pan out?
I tried a couple things. They, you know, they were okay, but with my kid, it was hard to juggle it all. So I kind of took a step back, and I'm just trying to do something on my own again, or find somebody I can partner with to do around my kid's schedule, especially my son.
Right. And I think you realize that because you just got a divorce and everything, you kind of have to put the kids a little bit the top priority, because it's a lot, a lot of changes. But it does look like, you know, money-wise will be okay. And, you know, also you had to wait till you got a divorce to start making more money.
Yeah. I made that mistake of doing that over the summer. I made decent money, and it totally threw the whole negotiations off.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, that you'll be making better money now, you know, after this is all kind of settled down now. And so it's just, you just went through like a tornado, and now, like, you know, the house has hit the ground. You need to just sort of get everything in order, reorganize, revamp, give yourself a little time. When is your birthday, the month and the day?
May 8th.
Okay, good. By the time you get to your next birthday, which is a little ways off, everything should be sort of calmed down, settled, and also, it looks like you will be meeting some new people and having a new relationship. So it's not tomorrow. I'm not sure if you would be ready tomorrow for a new relationship.
I'm still not totally over the soulmate thing either. So I just trying my hardest just not even to talk to him. So that's still difficult.
Right. Well, that's why you're mourning for the ending of that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's really hard. But if you kept that door open, it would just keep you from, you know, being able to let someone in. And you need to, you know, be able to just, if he's not going to step up to the plate, you can't keep waiting years for him. First of all, your children need to see a better version of love than what they've seen. And the universe would really want to, you know, bring that within the next year or so. So You know, I see a little bit of extremes of moods going on here with you. Do you find yourself up and down in your moods?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, that's normal. Good. It's normal for, like, a divorce. It's normal for a fact that, you know, you brought a relationship that you thought was going to be, you know, the real deal, and it is the real deal, but he can't commit to you. So there's a lot of stuff that you kind of should be moody about, but there's nothing hopeless in your card. There's actually really good things, money-wise, too. So, okay. You know, you've been through the worst. Now are you just trying to have some, do you try to be a lover to yourself, do some things for just you?
Yeah. I've got some time now to myself so I can do some, you know, stuff I wasn't able to do before.
Right. And how's that feel?
Weird.
I know. I like the way, see, everything's weird. I think it's like a lot of change. Like this whole night we have a theme of change, moving, new careers, you know, relationships ending. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, change is difficult and it's hard. And
it is.
You know, and, you know, you kind of feel a little bit lost. You know, you're like, your compass isn't there. You know where you're going in what direction. And but the problem is humans like the devil, they know. And the problem is we stay too long where we don't belong. And once we're thrust out of it, it's like it's hard for us to adjust. If we would like almost move more quickly from situations, maybe we wouldn't get so devastated when the change actually happens. But change is good. And there's nothing bad in your card. Your kids look like they're actually pretty good too. They're adjusting pretty well to everything.
Yeah. They do seem like they are, and I'm trying to just focus on them.
You've been an amazing mom.
I try.
You realize you've been an amazing mom.
And, got amazing kids, so I'm lucky.
Oh, good. And, you know, if you need us, call in again. Nothing is bad in your cards. You know, everything looks really very, very good. So I'm glad that you cut it off with the other guy, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of necessary for you to move your life forward.
Yeah.
And... You know, we have to make space. If we can't, you know, have dead weight in our life, we have to, like, make space for a new love. So it will come. And, you know, say always thanks for calling in because people like to know, oh, somebody actually went through their divorce. You know, people who've watched people for years, some people, they don't go through it. They're back and forth.
Yeah.
Wow, we've seen one through completion.
Yeah, and I love listening, too, because I get a lot just from listening to other people's stories, too. So it's, when I do listen once in a while, it's helpful.
Well, and you know what it is, because everybody's really just struggling with the same things. And whether it's a move or ending of a relationship, a divorce, everybody has the same sort of anxieties going on. And how can we cope with those so that we don't let anxiety keep us stuck? You know, and you know, sometimes we just have to do things in spite of anxiety.
You know,
you just got to do it. We know it's right. And even when we're doing what's right, we can have anxiety because good people are always torn if they're leaving a bad relationship. They feel guilty. They feel like they should have fixed the person, saved the person, and they leave with guilt. And I'll tell them, well, that's unearned guilt. It'll be processed. And you're going to have anxiety because of the guilt. It'll be processed. And it does. It leaves. It might take a week, might take a month, might take 6 months, but eventually that's processed. So always change gives us a little bit of anxiety. So anyway, we're at the end of our show, and Blog Talk's going to cut us off, so I want to make sure we say goodbye to everybody. And Stacey, call in again for us. We always love when you call in. And I want to, of course, thank Nicole for doing a great job, as
thank
she always
you,
does.
Thank you,
and we did have a lot of unique themes today.
Yes, we did.
All right. And what were you saying, my darling?
No, I was just saying I heard you before, and I couldn't get my mic to turn back on.
Oh, I said, because I made the mistake of saying before the show that I didn't have any glitches with Blog Talk before the show. Well, not many.
I'm like, hello, and I'm talking, and you're talking to me, and I'm talking more, and, like, you're not hearing me. So I was like, okay. And then, of course, after you pick up Stacey, my mic turns on.
Yeah, well, we have a few glitches here. What can I tell you? There's a few
couple.
Bugs
it's
in
all
the
right,
system.
Though. You know what? It wasn't a bad glitch. We've had worse. We've had the host of our show getting kicked off of our show. So.
Oh, yeah, and then I couldn't schedule it, and in the meanwhile, I'm having a breakdown.
Exactly. So at least it was minimal.
Well, good night, everybody, and we'll all speak next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Good night, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye.